Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
What can you tell me about armadillos?
They're nasty creatures.
Okay, well, we got one in the backyard.
Oh, do you really?
Do you have any advice for getting rid of critters? I've never really encountered an armadillo, Carl. I'm going to go back there and see what this is all about.
Badger urine. They hunt snakes. You can take badger urine and put it around your house.
Where do I get badger urine?
Yes, Carl, you go to Camp Randall Stadium, and you just wait for those fans to get done in Madison.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
See, you learn things on this show. How to get rid of varmints, how to, mix a drink, what we eat. There's so many things that you learn on this program, man. Today, I'm looking at Mike on Twitch. I'm like, why you got the lights off? That melatonin's working on you, huh? Got the lights off all back there.
Bro, I mean, I'm telling you what. Today, I take my regimen of vitamin C. You know, my body is a temple, as you guys know. And I took melatonin as opposed to zinc, which is important for your immune system. So I'm on my second Red Bull. So the bad news is now I might never go to sleep.
That's
but anyway,
yeah.
Hope you're enjoying.
Well, I know how it can be when you're tired and then you're up. So that's a bad spot to be in.
Yeah.
You know what and it's not even a hangover state. It's just you are like in a, and I don't even want to say a psychotic state, but kind of in a way, in a little bit.
Based on the Falcon report, some would say I was in a psychotic state.
Maybe. Hey, man, we're going to get to what's going on with our top three at six. We'll also examine what Arthur Smith had to say, our coach of the Falcons, on potentially looking for a quarterback in this draft. And it's something a lot of guys have been saying. You know, matter of fact, that conversation during the Falcon report, a lot of guys were saying, Dukes, you got to go quarterback at four. Zeke says you got to go quarterback. This team's not going to Super Bowl next year. Right. I hear you. And I know Mike feels the same way. You know, based on what we know right now, I don't know if anything's going to change that between now and the start of the season. You know, some kind of blockbuster trade that might give you a more hope. I don't necessarily feel that way because I just think the NFL's weird that teams that are bad all of a sudden become good. Coaching changes. One or two players make plays. All of a sudden, you're in the mix. Are you a Super Bowl caliber team? I don't know. You know, everybody just thought this last year that there were teams that were, you know, have an opportunity to get there, and they didn't. There's always those teams that underachieve, Mike, and then There are teams that overachieve every year. But I understand the mindset. And as I said, I'm not mad at anybody who says we have to take a quarterback right now. I just don't know if that helps you right now. And I think they want to win right now. I don't think that Arthur Smith has come in here and said, Mr. Blank, we'll go 0-11 next year. Don't worry.
But, you know, you heard the comments of Terry Fontenot on with us, and you'll hear what Arthur Smith had to say. I mean, it sounds to me like they're making no illusions about it and how difficult it may be to get all the things you need to go make that run. Look, we always use 2007 as that reference point. You know, I think Smitty was coach of the year that year. We go to the playoffs, Ryan's first year. We go from dead in the water in 2007 to a nice run in the wild card. We actually lost to the Phoenix Arizona Cardinals. But we still didn't. That was as far as we got, Carl. Right, that's what I'm saying. Right. I'd love to believe.
Yeah, you're saying even if you got right. a playoffs, you're saying no Super
yeah,
Bowl.
I just yeah. don't know. And again, by the way, yes, Tom Brady could blow out a knee or anything. Anything could happen. But right now, you got players saying, look, we'll move my money back. Tampa Bay's in a great spot. They got a bunch of guys that are free agents. And we got other players on that roster are going to push money back the way we did. And they might actually be jammed up in 2 or 3 years, but they're going to have the whole band back together, it looks like, for another Super Bowl run. We got yeah. we got all the money pushed back, Carl, but we didn't get there.
It's true. And by the way, if you're Tampa, it's worth the risk.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
It's worth the risk right now. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Most important story of the day coming up. We'll talk about what Arthur Smith had to say about looking for a quarterback. Right now, let's get to the top three. We're waiting to hear what's going to happen with John Collins. Lloyd Pierce, this is what he said on our morning show with John and Hugh this morning about this concussion and whether or not he's going to be out. The Hawks, we're supposed to find out at 5:45. We are still awaiting word whether or not John Collins is going to be available tonight for the Celtics game. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Lloyd Pierce, Mike, from this morning.
It's a big loss. I mean, I thought he was having a great game, 13 points in that first half yesterday. To miss him was tremendous. And to miss him, if we potentially miss him for the protocol, he's probably going to be out until the break. And we're depleted as it is. So,
well, your pre- and post-game host of your Hawks broadcast right here on The Game, Mike Conti, says John Collins will be a game-time decision for the Hawks. So we'll see. Cam Reddish is out again tonight, Carl, against Boston.
Okay.
And Kemba Walker is being load managed for the Celtics. So no Kemba Walker, so you catch a break.
Well, remember, wasn't he out? I want to say
yes,
when we
he was
there.
Out. He was out the game that we won. That's the one right. that Jason Tatum had a nice second half and made it interesting. But then, of course, they smoked us in the second game up there.
All right, man. So we'll see. Listen, I want us to have John Collins. We got to, at some point, win in the second night of a back-to-back. We've not done it all season. Not once. And we've got 8 of those games coming up in the second half of the season, or 8 of those situations where you played like you did last night, and then you turn right back around, you got a back-to-back, but we've not won in the second night of a back-to-back. So we got to turn things around. That's how you start, Mike. And you can't just keep saying, well, we'll do it. Okay, well, tonight would be a great night to do it. Bad loss last night. Come back. You said it. No Kemba. Let's see what the Hawks can do tonight. Meanwhile, what about Trey not being a reserve on the All-Star team? Lloyd Pierce was also asked about that, and here's what he said about Trey.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think he's had a tremendous year, an All-Star year, without a doubt. It's just judging by the way teams play him, he's at the forefront of everyone's scouting report with the blitzes, the denials, the box and ones. I think more than any player in this league, if you were to ask me, and so it's a sign of respect in terms of how teams are playing him, and he's backing it up with his play. And so it's unfortunate, and I'm sure that weighed on him, but I thought he came out and was competitive and gave us a fighting chance all night.
Look, if he wants to make a statement, then ball out. I mean, prove everybody wrong. Trey, according to StatsMuse, is the first player in the league in 30 years to average 25 or more points and 9 or more assists in a season and not make the All-Star team. But this goes back to, we're not showcased. ESPN doesn't put us on. I think we get, what, we get one game against Golden State this year in the second half?
No,
for a national audience?
We've got 6 national TV games in the second half of the season now.
We've already had 1 on ESPN.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So 6. And again, to your point, though, that's how you get the recognition. Those big nights, those big games where, you know, TNT, whatever it is, and you put on a show, the recognition becomes a little bit more. But yes, the first, second half of the season, which came out today, by the way, which is why we're talking about it, we have 6 national televised games, 6 TV games that are going to be national. And speaking of the schedule, I just, again, you can go look at it, Hawks.com, it's out there. But that stretch in March, between like March 20th and the end of March, March 30th, 31st, we're out west, and we have, I think it's one of the toughest stretches we'll see all season long. Mike, you're lucky to come out 500, but if you come out better than that, then that means we're playing some really good basketball, because again, I still don't think at that point DeAndre Hunter's going to be back.
Right, and that's the killer. I mean, we need this guy back there. Again, we just heard that John Collins will be a game-time decision, which is better than what it sounded like last night. But, yeah, you've got to be able to ride this thing out. What we need is Gallinari to step up. You need Bogdanovich on the floor, Rondo. I mean, all the guys, I know it's like a broken record, and I apologize, but it's the same story. We need the $150 million to show up on the court that we added this year. It hasn't done that. And Gallinari was minimal impact last night.
Top 3 at 6 brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company's Hoptropolis IPA. It's an American IPA with tropical fruit, floral, citrus, and stone hop aromatics. Hoptropolis IPA, tropical allure, juicy hop bliss. Let's talk about Tiger and give everybody an update. If you maybe you're just jumping in the show and jumping in the car and listening for the first time today, I think there are a couple of things. First of all, we know he went through surgery. He's up. He's talking, you know, and now the healing process begins. Not just worried about golf, but just to kind of set aside, that's one aspect of it, which is the physical surgery and all that. The other part is the L.A. County Sheriff's Department came out and said that Tiger was not drunk. He was not impaired in any way. So, quote, we can throw that one out.
Right.
So that also puts that to bed, Mike. They are saying this was purely an accident.
Right. And the good news was Tiger was wearing his seatbelt, which is part one of, you know, surviving a wreck like that. And, you know, I mean, they said the cabin itself, like the actual driver compartment, did stay intact, which is, I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity, I guess, if you're the folks over there at Genesis, because yeah. Tiger made it out. But to have, you know, both legs really jammed up, you know, and have the ankle on one and then put the pins in there. We talked about the leg, a compound fracture where the bone breaks out of the skin. I mean, it's just, it seems like a nightmare. There have been some medical experts already on some of the Talking Head Network saying that, he can come back from this. But you and I said still the back. The back was the issue before we get into a major car accident. As you said, not drunk. They got a black box. They got some kind of recording device where they'll figure out what the telemetry was on the car itself. But there were no skid marks. he said skid marks. But, I mean, the idea is Tiger just kept rolling. And whether he thought he could power through the curve, I don't know. But no one's talked. Everybody had jokes about, you know, mood management because of pain and everything. And I don't know, is that a separate test? But alcohol has been ruled out.
So now it's just wait and see. And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, not just the next couple of days or the next few weeks. For Tiger in golf, I personally believe, and I'm not a doctor, he's probably not playing this year. Okay?
Right.
That would be my guess. You're going to recover from these injuries. Then you've got to rehab. You've got to work. You get your legs strong. All those things, and then you say, okay, how are you walking, first of all? You know, okay, how are you getting around? How is your quality of life? And then we can start talking about what you might try to do, and we don't even know what that's going to be. So I think it's just a wait and see, man. But as I said, I'm being very selfish just as a Tiger and a golf fan to say, yeah, I want to see him back and all that. I don't even know if it's even possible, like
right.
Where he's going to be. And, Mike, let's face it, if he misses significant time, okay, and I know he's done this all his life, but there is something to be said about, you know, hey, I think, you know, Jim Nantz asked him, you know, are you going to play in a warm-up tournament before the Masters? And he was like, I don't even know. He's not just going to roll out of bed and go win a major or PGA tournament, you know?
Right. I mean, as so many folks the last few days have been drawing the parallels. And when you and I spoke about it earlier, Ben Hogan. Ben Hogan was 8 years younger when he had his near-fatal car accident. But he also kind of played selective matches. He didn't play a lot of tour events, Carl. He would play about 5 or 6. You can look at his record. And then he would win. You know, in the year, I guess he was 40 to be 41. He won three majors. You know, Hogan, like Tiger, was, I mean, the absolute alpha male, can deal with a high pain threshold, put up with pain his entire life, was told he'd never walk again. But Tiger at 45, with the pre-existing conditions. I mean, it's a tall order, but again, you and I, we've made a lot of money with folks who bet against Tiger the last couple of years.
Oh, you're right about that. Hey, when we come back, speaking of betting against, well, what are we going to do? Arthur Smith, our head coach of the Falcons, says, yeah, we're looking for a quarterback. He even discussed it, but made no promises. But he also talked about what he could potentially add to the offense that's already here. It's coming up.
The most important story of the day.
It continues to be where our football team is going. Now, yesterday, Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, our new general manager, addressed the media. They'll do this a couple of times, you know, in the offseason together like this. Normally, we would be at Flowery Branch and having a chance to sit and talk with those guys. But Terry Fontenot came on our show yesterday, and we replayed it for you. It's on radio.com if you want to check it out. But, you know, everybody, not just us, everybody around the NFL is trying to figure out where they're going and what they want to do. A lot of these pro days are going to help determine some of the decision-making that's going on with some of these players, because, again, you're going to get a chance to see them up close and personal. But Arthur Smith, Mike, talked about looking for quarterback in this draft. I want you to hear what he says, and then let's discuss this a little bit. This is our head coach, Arthur Smith.
We'll look for help anywhere, and we'll look to add. Again, a lot of that plays into the salary cap, who's available, who you can sign, who you can draft, and it's all in play.
So no specifics, right? Duh. We look to add, okay? So does that mean, you know, you're going to go get a free agent quarterback? You're going to draft a quarterback late, maybe, if you don't go at four? Because I still think it's something that you're probably going to have to do with one of your six picks at some point if you don't do it at four. And I know there are a lot of people who think that that's what you have to do because you're drafting so high. So here's the question we asked today. And Mike, I want to get your assessment again on this because we talked about it and you said, I'm done waffling. This is what I want to do. What is it that you think you want to do right now?
I'm just going to get the best quarterback I can get at number four. And hopefully we'll never be picking this high again. And then this guy gets to sit behind Matt Ryan, and maybe we can cobble together a run in the wild card, or maybe we could even win a division. You don't know. But I don't have any aspirations that we're going to, you know, get anywhere beyond the first round of the playoffs. I just don't see it. This team just won four games. This team hasn't been in the playoffs since 17. We're jammed up against the cap. Unless we were able to do an unbelievable job knocking out of the park, Carl, like we did in 16. And that's the temptation to not go quarterback, because we've seen this team off an 8-8 season. Go get everything you needed. Three starters on defense, big-time free agent, and Alex Mack. Well, guess what? We don't have money for a big-time free agent, and we don't know what our new regime is going to do in the draft. This is our first chance to watch them work. But I stay the course. And again, if you want to put me down, this is like Chinese water torture or whatever you want it to. I can only give you one answer. I'm going Justin Fields. I want Fields at four. Okay. I love Penei Sewell. In a perfect world, I get to trade down. But the straight answer is, what are you doing it for? If I don't have a trade partner, I'm going to go quarterback. I'm going to take the best one I can get.
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing. What are you willing to give us at four? Let's just say it's two. We're asking for two first rounders at the minimum, okay? And there is a draft chart depending on what team wants to move from what position they're at to trying to get to the fourth overall pick. And usually it's going to cost you that and a second and maybe a late third, depending on, you know, a third down the road. But with that said, there may not be a trade partner. We kind of assume that some team is going to pull the trigger and say, screw it, we got to do this. And they're going to be willing to give us everything we want. Well, if that doesn't happen, then you better have a plan at four. And that's where we're getting to. Right. I'd rather have the plan at four, Mike, and then let somebody woo us with an incredible deal, and then we go, we had to do it, guys. I don't have a problem making a deal if the deal is right. But what is the plan? To your point, what is the plan at four?
Right.
Because that's what we have to know right now.
I mean, the Jets guys really hold our future in this draft in their hands. Are they going to stick with their quarterback? Are they going to go with Sam Darnold? Are they going to say Penei Sewell? The same thing we talked about. That's a guy going to be there for a decade. He's going to be one of your, you know, he's your bookends. He's your tackle. He's going to be watching your quarterback forever. Or you say, I got to go get Zach Wilson. They really apparently like Zach Wilson over Justin Fields. So then and then the Dolphins may go Penei Sewell. They may go Jamar Chase. There's been a lot of talk. I mean, even Kyle Pitts, the Dolphins might like, you know. But here's the thing: I hope it's sitting at number four. I get a ring. Hi, this is Jerry Jones. I want me some of that. Okay, because we'll take the Cowboys for all they're worth, or the 49ers call us at 12.
Yeah,
and then we trade down to 12, and then we can see. Then here's the thing, though, Carl. There is this stigma because Mac Jones is not a dual threat. Mac Jones may go in the first round. You want to take Kyle Trask and let him sit for a year? I know I can hear guys already rolling their eyes and going, oh. There are other guys out there, but that might not be your next franchise quarterback. This is why it gets back to this argument, Carl, of you might never be there again. Do you believe that Justin Fields is what you saw against Clemson more than what you saw against Northwestern and Indiana?
I do. I do. I don't know if other people do. I think today when we talked to Connor Riley, he's our dog reporter for Dog Nation, and he was talking about the ceiling. You know, that again, this is how these scouts look at it. Okay, it's not solely what you've done; it's the projection of how good you're going to be in 3 years. Who's going to come to the NFL, Mike, and get better? If none of these guys, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't get any better from where he's at right now, he'll be a good quarterback. I don't know if he'll be great in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You have to get better. What's made Brady brilliant, okay? And I want to tell you guys, if you really want to watch something. A buddy of mine sent it to me a couple of weeks back, right after the Super Bowl. I think they did this. You watch the Peyton Manning stuff that he does, the breakdowns?
Right.
And he sent it to me, and he said, Dukes, just check out how, because, again, Brady picked apart, okay, in that Super Bowl, the Kansas City defense. I mean, just picked them apart. And part of that was preparation, but part of that was his experience in knowing what to expect. And even in blitz situations, he's audibling, and Manning is just going through it and saying, listen, this is what he's looking at, this is what he's just seeing, and this is what he's about to do. And then they show you the play, and it's like, I'll be damned. And every time Brady was right. The point I'm getting to is that's the ceiling. That's where you're trying to get to. Which guy's coming into the league? Yeah, Justin Fields has a lot of natural talent. But is he going to be? Where's he going to be in 3 to 5 years from now, Mike, with the right coaching and development?
Right. I mean, this is why, guys, I want to get that quarterback now. Whether, and again, now this is up to Arthur Smith and to Terry Fontenot. They're going to identify who their guy is, you know. And then you got to get a guy who's going to have to learn a little bit. Aaron Rodgers learned under Brett Favre. Now we joked around about Brett Favre. Yeah, he loved being a tutor. But I mean, can you get Matt? Matt would certainly work. Matt's not going to be taking the high road. I mean, the low road. He'll take the high road. He'll do what he's got to do. Matt knows which way the wind is blowing, I think, right now. But I mean, I just. You want a guy, and you've got to find the transformative piece, the franchise quarterback. And we know, Carl, if you hit Mitchell Trubisky instead of Deshaun Watson, oh, my God, can you imagine in this city what we'll be going through? And then Terry Fontenot will be on thin ice in year three. You know what I mean?
Yes, but that's
the risk. Is he a better player?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I think even the most ardent Justin Fields fan would say there's things he's got to work on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. It's Dukes and Bell. Speaking of adding to this offense, here's Arthur Smith. This is our coach talking yesterday about the offensive talent and, more importantly, adding to what we have.
But, again, we're going to look to add at all times during the season. I mean, you never know when you can pick up players. I mean, last year in Tennessee, we picked up Jeff Swaim, a tight end, in the middle of August, and he ended up being a big contributor down the stretch for us as we made that playoff run. So we're going to always – it's a constant evolution there. But we feel good about some of the pieces we have coming back, but we'll always continue to add and look to add value and depth.
Yeah, man. I love the fact that, as you said earlier, both the general manager and the coach, nobody is making these proclamations. You know, we got to find us a quarterback, you know. No, you don't alienate the guys. You don't alienate an MVP like Matt Ryan. I know fans out there, I don't know what you guys expect these guys to say. You said it. They're not going to box themselves into a corner with some declarative statement about what the mission. No, you're going to wait and let every other general manager come to you with offers.
So one of the things – and I know we may not have this soundbite. Maybe we'll play it for you tomorrow. And I don't even know if somebody pulled it. But one of the things that Arthur Smith said yesterday as he addressed the media, and Mike, it really stuck with me. He said there was a time, he mentioned a couple of times, but he gave an example of being in Tennessee and, like, they had four wide receivers that were out. And he said, we basically tailored the offense for that upcoming week with all of our tight ends. And it was something that I'm like, oh!
Right.
Because he's saying what we have been trying to say the last few years, adjusting the personnel. I don't want to hear who's out. How do we go into this week and win with what we have? Dean Pease has already told a story about when he was Ravens DC, you know, Ray Lewis was out for like 8 weeks. They end up going to Super Bowl and winning. Stop making excuses. How do we adjust and do those things? And so when he said that yesterday, I was like, that's what I need to hear from my head coach and my OC. I want people that go, you know what, all right, he's out. Here's what we're going to do. And we're going to adjust the entire offense and the play calling this week to win. That's something I think we've greatly missed these last few years, which is why I was on Cutter and saying he's got to do a better job and yada, yada, yada. But, Mike, that's the kind of stuff. It's not just about the halftime adjustments. It's the, okay, such and such is limited this week. What are we doing against the Rams that will give us success?
Right. So now, guys, we're the great debate. This is what, I mean, this has literally got the Falcon fans divided. We've been talking about this since the season was over, which unfortunately for us was Halloween. But do you try
don't
to.
Don't remind me.
No, I mean, because I think you got the diehard Matt and Julio guys, you know, the guys who wear their Julio underoos to bed every night. Like, Julio's the man. Yes, yeah, he's a tremendous athlete, Hall of Famer. They played 9 games last year. But, I mean, we need, and same thing. Oh, we can still do it. You're living in the past, guys. 16 and 17 is 4 years or 5. 5 years removed. That's not where we're at. We just won four games. And that's why I'm coming around to like this big picture. By the way, during our conversation, Carl, I just traded down with the 49ers, and I got everything. I got everything I want. I got second, third, fourth, two fifth rounders. I just raked Lynch over the coals. And I took Trey Lance, by the way.
I'm with it. By the way, I mean, if you're telling me you can get everything you want and get one of these top quarterbacks, I'm with it. Hey, last but not least, Terry Fontenot, Mike. This is the general manager. What are our strengths? What does he see as the team's strengths right now?
Yeah, I would say that if you said the number one strength, and if you look at the offense, obviously we have a quarterback. Obviously we have some really good receivers. And look, we have some. There's some guys I'm excited about on the offensive line. There's a lot of good elements to this team. We just have some areas we need to fill in. Defensively, same thing. There's some really bright spots on the defense. We just need to – there's just areas that we need to fill in, and that's what's critical. But you get excited about the players, not just of what they have on the field, but there's some guys here that have really good makeups and are good pros and do things the right way. So – we're excited about that part of it, and we just we have over 50% of this roster has to be filled out, so we're just going to really add to that, and make sure we're focusing on makeup and bringing in the right types of players with the right mindset, so we can build the culture the right way. But hey, some good players on the team, but we got a lot of work to do.
50%. We got a lot of work to do.
We do, but 50% of this roster has to be filled out.
Think about it. Guys, you need two safeties. You need at least one or two corners. You need an edge rusher / outside linebacker. You need a guard. You need – they do believe in Hennessy. I know I ask you every day about Hennessy, but, you know, he's going to be there as your center unless they – you know, they might evaluate it a little bit differently. I love the idea of drafting a guy like Penei Sewell and moving Matthews or Caleb McGarry inside. And then we are running the football, baby. We can draft anybody you want in the third or fourth round, and they'll get him 1,000 yards with that line.
This just in, John Collins is available for the game tonight. Reports out of State Farm. John Collins, concussion evaluation is available for tonight's game. So let's go get one against these Celtics. Mike, what do we got coming up for game winner?
Sorry, you distracted me. I was just picking up Ramondre Stevens, running back from Oklahoma in the fifth round. I've got to stop mocking, Carl. All right, man. Game winner is what is your – what? How about this? You got a horror story about your – No, what was your line today? Your daughter has now found someone cooler than you. When was the first time parents, this is mostly for dads out there, you realize that your kids just don't think you're cool anymore? Carl has been passed by what, the track coach?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. You know, I was somebody once, Mike.
When did you become the parent in the insurance company commercial? You know? Where you make noises to sit down. When did you realize you're really getting old and you're just not cool? 404-741-0929.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
Kind of like that insurance commercial, Carl, and it's funny, there's so many great insurance commercials, I forget what they're actually selling or who the company is, but when they try to make you not become your parents when you buy a house. Carl, real quick, give the background today or what happened yesterday when Trinity came home and kind of broke your heart.
Well, you know, she's at a track meet today. They've got their first track meet, and so she's pretty excited, but we were talking about, you know, her coach, and she's going on, you know, and at some point she basically said, I think he was a stud in high school, and I was like, well, I was a stud! You know, I was somebody at one point, and she just simply said, yeah, I don't see you that way. And so it really made me reflect, Mike, and I was thinking, you know what? Who is this coach? What's his name? So she told me, I'm not going to say because I don't want to put his business out there, but he listens to the show. He's a really cool dude. But lo and behold, as you know, Mike, these coaches have an impact on, you know, kids, just like ours did on us. But it was one of those moments where you're like, I did things. I'm important.
I can do things. I'm not dumb. I'm smart. I'm a cool dad.
You know, so yeah, right. she just kind of put me in my spot, but it made me laugh because it was like, and then she literally, I don't see you that way. Okay.
All right, so the first time you began to realize that, wow, maybe I'm not the cool dad, or, you know, just realize you're becoming like your parents. It's kind of like a double-edged deal. You get the deal. 404-741-0929. Let's see what we got. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What you got for us?
Yes, sir.
How
about first time you put a shirt on, you're going to go to a bar and you realize that it fits a lot tighter around your gut than it does your chest.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. Carl and I joke around. Thank God for Old Navy and those stretch jeans, man. If it wasn't for Old Navy jeans, I'd never be able to go outside, Carl. I got to be honest with you. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. We're off and running. What do you got for us?
That's a really good one. Hey,
man.
Hey, man.
I don't know about the dad part, but when I realized I didn't have it, I went out to one of my niece's celebration with a cup that we're playing football out there. And I went out there and did a move. Nobody touched me. I hit the ground. And the guy said, "Sir, are you okay?" I'm like, "Who are you calling, sir?"
You know what? And that's it. When you didn't have it, that's exactly right. That's a good one, too, man. Good stuff. Appreciate you.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, when my grandson beat me 101, I knew I was old then.
Oh, that'll do it. That'll
you know
do
what?
It.
And it takes me back. Like, I had an older brother, and I remember the first time I beat him in basketball. And Mike, you know, I didn't let him live it down. I mean, I don't know. I was probably 11, maybe 12. I don't know how old I was at the time. And I didn't let him live it down. I couldn't beat him for years. So that was like that conquering moment. Yeah, it's a good one, man, because that happens, especially with fathers and sons, or your son or one, somebody related to you beat you, and you've been owning them their entire life. That's the moment.
Yeah. Hey, man, I totally get it. And it's like when guys talk about when they beat their dad the first time playing golf out there. You know, Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. First time you found out you weren't that cool or you're just getting old. What do you got for us? Hey, man.
That was my dad.
Hey, man.
What you got, man?
Man, when I was overseas doing a little program with the family, man, I was hooping. And we had to play a zone defense on these young guys, man. We couldn't stop them, man. We just couldn't run with them no more.
You couldn't think. You wanted to play man, but you just couldn't do it. Hey, bro, let's go zone. We're going zone.
Oh, man. Carl, the guy, when I was starting out in radio and I was working in Bluefield, West Virginia, Jim Nelson was my partner, and Jim was like 42. Great guy, great athlete, and he was the voice of the Bluefield Beavers. Anyway, we're playing in a charity game. He hits three threes from the top of the key. He takes himself out of the game.
I'm going to check out. What are you doing?
He goes, "First off, I'm gas. Secondly, quit while you're ahead." Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Check this out, man. I'm going to tell you this. I'm tired of this. Let's fire the front office. I'm tired of the Hawks front office. I'm tired of the Falcons front office. The Braves.
Wait, hold on.
The Falcons and the Hawks. I'm tired of them.
But hold on.
They're the problem.
Hold on. The Falcons hadn't had a chance yet. Let's make some picks first, man. Jeez, Carl, he's angry. He's like, is that coach?
Yeah, it may be. But here's the deal. The pass regime is gone. Like you wanted to fire them. Well, they've been fired.
You wanted the best. Yeah, you got the best, brother.
Let's give the Falcons a chance here to see what we're going to do.
Right.
The Hawks, somebody asked me today, Mike, they said, is Lloyd seat hot? I don't believe that, but I do think what Mike said today, you're bringing more attention to this situation by losing the way we are.
Right. And more fans are watching. But when you spend $150 million on free agents and none of these guys can play, Gallinari at least is out there, shouldn't have been subbed in. Look, I'm frustrated. I do think, though, if Lloyd Pierce can't get things rolling, and I just think fans don't want to hear the excuse about no DeAndre Hunter. You know what I mean? That's fair or unfair. People don't want to hear that.
I agree. I said this. You're still in games. Last night, how can you say DeAndre Hunter wasn't there when you had control of the game, but yet you blew it in the last 2 minutes?
Right.
You can't.
Period. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for tonight's game winner?
Hey, man. You know you're getting old. Like the other call said, I was playing basketball with my little cousins. I told everybody to get back. I got him 1-on-1. I got crossed over so bad, I look like William Refrigerated Perry in pass coverage.
Well, that's when your mind tells you, like in your head, you're like, I can do this, but then your body's like, no.
No, can't do it. Can't do it, Sally. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So this is all about the one downer tonight, I guess. So these guys are talking about going out and playing basketball with the young guys and stuff, man. You know you lost it whenever kickball's, you know, the big exciting sport. last year, right before COVID hit, I I got up, you know, first person up to, I guess, kick and blew out a quad muscle.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because I know you were like, what the?
Oh, my God.
You know what, though? There is this progression, Mike. It's literally like you, the sports that you go to, because if you grow up playing sports, like most folks, at least you competed in some way, shape, or form, you want to continue that. You know, the weekend warrior thing. And so you go, you know, you might play flag football, you might play softball, kickball. You're just trying to do stuff. But then you realize, like, these simple things are hard. They become more and more difficult.
I know there's a couple of dudes. My buddy Big Bill knows the story, but we did this over four. There was a lot of, there are some older guys who still play rugby, but we started this over 40 thing we were going to do at Piedmont Park.
At what age did you quit rugby, by the way?
At 42. But okay. But same thing. Everybody, we have a practice. We're not even, like, hitting or anything. No one's even, not even doing anything. And the next day, guys are like, oh, yeah, man, I think I'm going to have to tap out. I blew my knee out. I got a quad. We were at Fideau, might have been, and everybody had, like, you could smell the Bengay. It was, like, ridiculous. But anyway, hey, Dino Martin at Tapping Out 21 says, the first time you have to take that little blue pill, man, things just aren't the same.
Speak for yourself. Hey, today's show is protected by Mimecast. Nearly 40,000 organizations trust Mimecast to keep them safe from phishing, business email compromise, and the risk of ransomware. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. This one, Kenneth, basically saying, hey, we saw what happened last night with this Hawks team. He heard us talking about the Hawks. We asked the question today, what do you think? What do you feel? His definition, Mike, in this comment here to us, we suck in half-court offense, guys. And he says, why is it that we can't execute late? It's a great question. Mm-hmm. The half-court offense, if we're running and we're fast-breaking, we're great. When we have to go half-court, it's Trey. This is where DeAndre Hunter comes into play.
Right. One guy said, is what's making ISO Trey any better than ISO Joe? At least we get some alley-oops. I don't think we got that with ISO Joe, but I hear you. Half-court is kind of stagnant.
We'll come back. We'll clear our throats next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.